Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about a program that I've been involved in that's a cooperative project between scientists in Pakistan and the U.S., and its official title is the Cotton Productivity Enhancement Program, or CPEP, and it's funded by USAID through the USDA. Now, the main players in the project on the U.S. side are two ARS groups, one at Stoneville and one at College Station, Texas. But we also have some good support from some other cooperators here in the U.S. Most of them are universities, you'll notice, but we also have had excellent support from the National Cotton Council, and that's to help mediate or give us some access to the Cotton Winter Nursery, which you'll see in a moment has been very vital in the success of this project. In Pakistan, they have an excellent group of well-educated scientists that have been very good to work for. They already have the infrastructure in place that we needed, and we're currently working with 9 Pakistani groups, and they're coordinated within the country by another international organization, ICARDA. And we've found that they're not only good in the lab, and we've enjoyed working with them, but they're also get right out there in the field with you and show you what they've got. So it's been very good working with them. They also have some well-established institutes, and one you may be familiar with is the Cotton Breeding Institute in Multan. But all the people together, our major goal of everybody in this very large and complex group of different projects is to improve the protection against a disease called cotton leaf curl virus. And there's a whole lot of parts to this project, but I'm only going to concentrate today on one part of it. First, just a little bit about cotton leaf curl virus. In Pakistan, it can cause up to 40% crop loss in some years, so it is a very major disease there. And it's also worse for the small farmers. In Pakistan, in general, they have really big farms, sort of 500 to 2,000 acres, but a majority of the people in numbers are the farms that are like from 1 to 5 acres. Cotton is their main cash crop, especially for the small farmers. Most of the cotton is consumed in their textile mills, and it currently accounts for more than 20% of their GDP. The leaf curl virus is transmitted, as far as we know, exclusively by white flies, and it can be very devastating on especially the varieties that are currently grown in Pakistan. It's very diagnostic. You can see it has curling, the veins are thickened, but one of the most unique features that even I can figure out when I see it is it has this sort of cup that develops on the bottom of the leaf. Why we want to be involved and should be concerned is because the white flies and the cotton leaf curl virus don't know anything about borders. And in the course of the sort of history of the disease, it's already been reported in India and Africa and in China and now possibly in Australia. So it definitely is moving around. And it also has a very wide host range. So there's at least 40 different species that it is a host. And what's happened, they believe, in China is it was actually introduced not on cotton, but on some ornamental plants that were imported for part of the Beijing Olympics celebrations. And one of the plants was Mississippi. So if it comes to the U.S., we want to be prepared, and we want to already have resistant varieties, but we want to do this without actually bringing the disease to the U.S. And so what I'm going to concentrate now on for the rest of the talk is one part of this complex project, which is basically to screen germplasm in Pakistan to see if we can identify sources of resistance. So for this part of the project, there were U.S. partners, so myself and Brian Scheffler at Stoneville, and then the ARS group, Richard Percy, and the cotton germplasm collection folks. And this part of the project really was successful because of the fact that USDA ARS has a number of interconnected parts that made it possible. And the first part was the cotton germplasm collection, because they have over 9,000 different accessions, different genuses, different species that we could tap into. Also because under the USDA and in cooperation with the National Cotton Council, we have the Cotton Winter Nursery, and Wes Malloy, who very deservedly got an award yesterday. So those parts were also really vital to making this project work. The other part, which I can't say enough about, is the crew at the Cotton Winter Nursery, because they're very experienced, and every single seed that we increased that went to Pakistan and back into the collection was produced by self-pollination. The other thing that we're really fortunate about is at the same time when we were putting this together, there was already an ongoing project from Jane Deaver and her team at Lubbock and Richard Persig's group at College Station. And this was something that was sponsored by Cotton Incorporated, and you've heard some about it, I think, already, that they were trying to develop a standardized descriptor data set for collecting morphological data and also to take digital images. And this is something they're trying to do for eventually all the accessions in the germplasm collection. And then they're going to deposit them, and as Jean talked about earlier this morning, it's already ongoing that these images and the data is going to be in the cotton gin, and she showed you very nicely about how to access that information. So we decided then that we would take advantage of this project and make sure that all the germplasm that was sent to Pakistan, it would first be increased in Mexico, so that we would send them some good quality seed, and we would also have reserve in our collection, and that we would have data in the standardized descriptor format. And we were lucky to be able to do that. We received funding from Cotton Incorporated to be able to go to the winter nursery, so James and I took the digital data, or the descriptor data. And so we've got James out there collecting. There's some other people hanging around, but he's the only one that's actually working. And then also Jana Love and some of the folks at the Winter Nursery also made digital images then of all the entries that were sent for screening. So then the partnership that was important between us and Pakistan is that we supplied the germplasm and then they screened it for resistance. And the major sources that we've sent so far for screening were diploid cotton germplasm, that was from the collection, obsolete varieties, the tetraploid germplasm, and then some lines that have come from my own host plant resistance program. The diploids, we screened pretty much all the arboreum and herbaceum that there was enough seed to send, and much to our amazement, so far it's all tested resistant. So there is diploid resistance, but then, as many of you know, it's difficult to transfer into the tetraploid cotton. This takes many years. And then there's the question, can it be transferred? And this is a topic for another talk. If anybody's interested, I'd be happy to tell you about it, but that's another part of the project. In 2012, we screened 300 varieties, and there was no resistance. They were all highly susceptible. And so then we moved on to tetraploid germplasm. And the Pakistani scientists first told us, oh, we've screened everything and there's nothing. But then it came around to, well, they'd screened their own sort of like cultivars. So we decided we would give it another try. And so how you decide out of those thousands of ones which to test? And so in the end, we came up with, we would send first ones that have come from areas where cotton leaf curl virus had already been reported. And the second one was that there is a related virus that's in Arizona, Mexico, some parts of Central America that's called cotton leaf crumple virus. It's a related virus and it can be a problem in some years. So we also selected ones that had tested previously resistant to this virus. And then we used the scale, and it's a standardized scale now that everybody in the project uses, which essentially zero is there's no symptoms to four, which is essentially totally susceptible and it doesn't produce any kind of useful fiber. In 2012, the first set that we sent, we did find some resistant tetraploids, but they were all photoperiod sensitive. And just one of the examples, they scored actually at four dates, 30, 60, 90, and 120 days after planting. And so this particular one at 60 days and also still at 120 days, it was scored as resistant. So then we were lucky because we have data, not just from the new database, but also even from GRIN, that we could go back and look and we see, oh, it's from Colombia. And then if you click onto the Google Map function, it will tell you where it came from. And what we did find then in the end is that there were about eight that tested resistant and that they came from three different areas in South America. And then again, we could take advantage of the fact that Jana had made digital images. So we went back and we could look at the set of five so we could see the bowls, the flowers, the leaves, and get some idea of how they looked. And this was very important because of the fact that the photoperiod sensitive stuff in Stoneville, Mississippi, it just grows and grows and doesn't do much. And so this is really where the cotton winter nursery came into play, because we were able then in 2013 to take those lines and cross them with US elite lines at the nursery. And this worked out much better because I don't have a lot of luck in the greenhouse with these. But when you make the crosses there at the winter nursery, you can get really good seed set, and we had good success. So then we were able also then to advance them to F2 generation by self-pollination. And again, this was at the cotton winter nursery, but during the summer months. And those will be sent then as F2 seed for screening in Pakistan in 2014, so this summer coming up. We did have a bit of luck that some of the photoperiod sensitive lines that tested as resistant, I had already been working on them as part of my PLUS Gossip Hall program, and I already had some more advanced lines that would be potentially good to test. So this is just a picture of what they look like in Stoneville and their F6 progeny, but we weren't sure would they really have any resistance, and so we thought, well, we'll give it a try. And because the lines had never been selected for cotton leaf curl virus, even though they're in the F6 generation, we were expecting either that they would segregate or that they would all be susceptible. So that was our sort of hypothesis. But when we had them then in 2013 in the screening nursery, you can see that some of them are looking really good with no symptoms to the ones that also were totally susceptible. And so just looking a little bit at the data, you can see that the two most successful crosses that I had were with H1220, which is a line that was developed, I believe, by Jack Jones, and Steve Calhoun worked with it. But it's been a good one in our program, and that we did get some lines there that looked to be resistant. And then the other ones were lines from a breeding line that I have, and also with photoperiod sensitive lines. So the Pakistanis went in for us and made single plant selections and saved the seed from the ones that tested as either zero, totally resistant, or one, which is highly resistant. So from these individual plant selections, we'll retest those again in 2014, both as a ratoon crop and then as new seed. And they'll be tested at multiple locations in Pakistan. And then eventually, by the end of the program, we're hoping then to have resistant material that will be available for people to use in their own programs. And the other thing that I just want to mention before we start is that we're going to make our own varieties, and the Pakistanis are going to do theirs, because what we think is the perfect variety is quite different. They like these really stovepipe-looking, close to the stem, and very hairy, which you as breeders would think, ooh, we'd throw those away. So we're each going our own way. And then essentially in conclusion, what's next is eventual retest again. We want to find more resistant lines. We want to investigate something about the mechanism and also to continue in the developing of the resistant varieties. And essentially, one of the things that we've just recently been noted is that cotton leaf curl virus is now one of 20 viruses that have been identified by Homeland Security as a potential threat to the U.S. And I'm believing in some time it will come, but it will be on one of the many alternate hosts. And that I feel that we really need to be prepared. And our program is not only looking for genetic resistance, but also detection techniques and management strategies. And that's essentially, in a nutshell, what the CPEP program's about. And if there's any time for questions?
Maybe just one question.
One question. But I'll be around afterwards, too. Yes, Megan? We're not really sure, and that's some of the research that's going on in these next couple years. We do know that in two of the ones, they actually looked using some technique to see if the virus was actually present in the plants or it was just somehow avoiding it. And what they found in those is that the virus was present at a very, very low level. So we're not really sure yet. But we do know that the in Mississippi, where I've looked at some of the photoperiod-sensitive material, the whiteflies seem to like it. But if there's some way that it can prevent the virus from entering, that I don't know yet. That's a question for next year.
Jody, you might mention the grafting work.
They've worked a little bit trying to do some preliminary work to see if they can get the virus to be transmitted from susceptible lines into the resistant ones. And what they've seen in arboreum is that it seems to come a little bit into it, but it doesn't necessarily get transmitted systemically to other parts of the plant. So that's another bit of testing that's going to be repeated this year, and hopefully we'll have something more for that next year also. Thank you.
Jody.